As we sing, God is good all the time.
God is good.
God is good.
God is good.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. It's been a wonderful, wonderful week. I hope it's been a wonderful week for you. I've had two last name changes this week. One day I was Patel, and then the other, I went to visit my hermanos in the hospital, and a lady said that I was John Davis's son, that I was identical to him. So now I am Dennis Davis. What a week. So we give God the glory. You know, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord is good. This month we start our one. If you have your programs there, we will be preaching in multiple locations, going to different churches at 6 p.m. on Sundays. And so we will be at the First Methodist Church next Sunday night, and then we will go to Greater Faith Babies, Chamblee Baptist, and then they will come here. So we want to be good hosts, and we hope that you can join us, and we can have this wonderful time together with our brothers and sisters in Christ in our community. The ladies' Bible study will meet on the 3rd at 6 p.m. You have that in there. We also have a special business meeting on the 15th. Remember to come if you are available on Wednesday mornings. We are praying. I believe that the best thing that we can do and the most powerful tool that God has given us is to pray. To pray. I believe that we're going to see miracles. I believe we just saw one this week with Brother Rick. And so I believe God is at work. And so I think we need to just keep going, keep praying. So I encourage you to be here at 7:30 or 6 o'clock and get on the list to pray. Just 30 minutes, that's all we ask. It's like one can a week is all we ask. One prayer, 30 minutes a week, that's all we ask that you may pray. Please sign up for that. Red Cross will be here with us on Tuesday as well from 2 to 7 p.m. And a deacon's meeting at is that at 2:30? At 2:30, yes. It's not 3 o'clock. It's at 2:30 next on the 8th. Also, the WMU will be meeting on the 9th at 10 a.m. In the church library. And there's also going to be an advisory committee meeting on the 15th. I just want to pray. Can I do that? Father, we're just so thankful for allowing you to be here this morning. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful grace. Thank you for allowing us to see you at work, where only you will take the honor and glory. Father, thank you for this church. Bless this church in a special way. And Father, guide us to see revival break loose in our community. May we see hundreds, if not thousands, of people come to know you. Give us that great blessing in our generation. Father, we love you. In Christ's name, amen.
In your messenger, and your messenger will be on the table
as you go out of both of these doors. And Mr. Vick, if you're standing there, can you check and see if there are any messengers there? And they're on the back table there too. In your messenger, looks like this, you will notice that there is the September calendar. Okay? So on the 21st, this is actually a great praise for our church. We have been praying for years for ways to find how we can reach out to the youth in our community. So this is an answer to prayer. Our 4-H, our local 4-H office came and met with us and asked us. They had so much fun with cooking with Gigi in June that they've asked that we do a monthly cooking club with them. And that is wonderful. We will meet on the Saturday of every month from 10 to 11:30. Now, Miss Dottie, Miss Lucille, and Miss Nancy are part of our women's leadership team. They are going to be soliciting for volunteers. We need some extra Gigi's. If I can have one extra Gigi, one extra grandma with us every month, that gives us two people from our church, and then we will have two leaders with the 4-H that will come from the 4-H. So that means that we have some adults there, and that's so the ladies will be approaching you about that and a few other things as we prepare for October, our ladies' conference in October. Also, the Unleashed is also in both your bulletin and in the messenger. The Unleashed Women's Retreat, that's going to be at Camp Pinnacle, and it's on August 13th. I'm just determined it's going to be August. September 13th and 14th. So if you have not signed up, go ahead and go to the website for WMU Women, and you can sign up on that for Unleashed. And that is all I have at this point.
Present, Lord, and evident today. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for the blessings that you have poured down upon us. Guide us today and open our eyes to see clearly what you have us to do. Our ears to be open, Lord, so that we hear what you tell us to do and our hearts ready to respond to what you say. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of worshiping you because of who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So this week, I left Wednesday and went to Jekyll Island for a conference for my job at school. And don't say, oh, you were in Jekyll Island. I was at work. I didn't, my toes did not hit the sand at all. Didn't see the beach. But I got up Friday morning and went to my conference. Left there, drove straight back here. We had middle school night at the football game Friday night. And many of you know I work with the dance team and the band. So ran straight there, got home, because parents don't always pick their kids up right when they should after the game. So I think it was about 11:30 when I got home, fell into bed about 12 o'clock. Did not read my devotion. I thought, I'm just so exhausted, I'm not going to be able to focus on it anyway. So I didn't read my devotion. Got up Saturday morning. I had a friend who was here from out of town. Out of state, actually, so I wanted to make sure that I saw her. Then I went and ran some errands. Then I had a class reunion last night. So when I finally fell into bed last night, I told God, I said, okay, I'm going to read my devotions. I need to think about tomorrow, Sunday morning, so I know that you're going to give me a fresh word. So I thought, I'm going to read the night before and last night. So Friday night's devotion says, it can be easy in this life to feel overwhelmed and anxious at the callings God gives us. Yet God does not assign us to a task and leave us ill-equipped. And I thought, thank you, Lord. So you're going to put some words in my mouth for tomorrow, because this is not my comfort zone. I can teach math in front of a ton of people all day long, but this is not comfortable for me. This is totally out of my comfort zone. Totally. So I flip the page over to read last night. Now, I picked the songs out for the week based on the sermon at the first of the week. So I flip it over, And the title is A Song of Amazing Grace. Mm. You tell me that God doesn't look out for us, and I'll tell you, oh, yes, he does. So before we get to Amazing Grace, I'll share with you what that says. But I thought that was pretty neat. He tickles me all the time. He always makes me laugh. You stand.
Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You
Grace. This hymn offers a picture of the journey of grace. First, there is the reconciliation of God and man, the lost and found. Then there's the grace that Paul wrote about to the Romans, the grace that redeems the fallen from the wages of sin, death. The third verse is the present sanctification of believers, far from instantaneous perfection, as long as we are alive. God is graciously at work in us until the day of our death. Finally, in the fourth verse, future glory is revealed. There is hope for eternity, no matter what, because of God's grace toward us. Everyone needs grace, the kind of grace that only Jesus can give.
Amen.
Rains unending love.
seated. So September is our mission emphasis for the state of Georgia. And we have set with Ms. Jo and the WMU, we have set our goal for this month for our collection for the Georgia emphasis at $4,000. We have a short video to kind of bring you up to speed with some of the things that we've got going on and that are coming to the forefront that we're working diligently here in the state of Georgia.
In Matthew 25, Jesus calls us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and care for the sick. This mission is as urgent today in Georgia as it was 2,000 years ago in Galilee. We are called to be his representatives, bringing light to a broken world. We are called to let them see Jesus.
12.7% of Georgians live below the poverty line. In urban areas, the rate is even higher. Families struggle to provide food, clothing, and shelter. But Georgia Baptists are making a difference, offsetting healthcare costs through health clinic ministries from Claxton to Cartersville. Mothers in Georgia are receiving essential care at crisis pregnancy centers. Georgia Baptists support these women through prenatal care, transportation services, parenting education, and emotional and spiritual support.
Over half of Georgia's third graders cannot read at grade level, setting them up for a lifetime of challenges. But child literacy programs like Read Georgia are happening in schools from Americus to Alpharetta, providing tutoring and mentoring to open doors for a brighter future.
Human trafficking is a devastating reality in Georgia. Children and teens are exploited and trapped in this modern-day slavery. But ministries from Albany to Atlanta directly reach the trafficked, while other Georgia Baptists serve the incarcerated, bringing hope and healing to all with the gospel. Thousands of children in Georgia are without stable, loving homes. We can provide these children with the care and support they need by becoming foster parents, supporting foster families, and creating a culture in our churches where foster kids know they are loved.
Refugees are in every community in Georgia. Those who have fled their homes due to violence and persecution are seeking safety and a new beginning. Georgia Baptists provide housing, job training, and language classes, while empowering Bible studies and worship in their native languages. It doesn't stop there. We build strong communities by planting churches where legacies are being rewritten through the power of the gospel.
Your involvement in the Mission Georgia offering makes a real difference. Your support provides the resources needed to follow Jesus' mission while we carry out his method, holding fast to the promise that he is with us. Together, we will bring the love of Jesus to every corner of our state. We will let them see Jesus.
So let's unite in prayer and action. Let's be the hands and feet of Jesus, serving our neighbors with compassion and generosity. Join us in the Mission Georgia statewide missions offering and be a part of something bigger than ourselves.
Thank you very much. We give God the glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We can get away. We can get away. We're going to be in the in Luke. We continue in Luke chapter 15, and we will be 11 through 24. So once we find it, we will stand, please, in honor of God's holy word. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with a prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swines. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell into his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be married. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be married. Father, thank you for your word. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Today we're going to be talking about a weekend getaway. I know this is a long holiday, and some of you are already making plans for this Monday, maybe to travel, maybe outside of the city, and some have come here. We're excited that you're here with us. You did not know that, of course, we have three boys, but Rosie and I also have a little girl, and her name is Luna. There she is, Luna. I did not know that she had my last name. I took her to Peach Veterinarian, and they said, Luna Rivera. I said, that sounds like me. And anyway, so she, as you can see, she doesn't have my eyes. Anyway, but there she is, a wonderful little puppy. We love her. How many of you have a little puppy at home? Everybody, there we go. That's wonderful. They're just part of us, you know. The dogs are just part of us. The animals are just part of us. They know us really good, by the way. Sometimes I said, I'm glad Luna doesn't talk. Can you imagine that? She'll probably post something on Facebook. There we go. But sometimes, you know, she has a tendency to do things out of the ordinary. Sometimes she wants to do things, you know, that kind of puzzle us sometimes. And so there she is again. You can see she was laying there, relaxed, enjoying life, wonderful at the Rivera's Hotel. There she is. And now there she is now. She's beginning to think, you know, for a moment. Sometimes we get this tendency to think. And then all of a sudden we go from thinking to doing. So here she is now. There she is. Let's see if we can get the video going. Now she's going off. There she goes. I told you. Taking speed now. There she goes. Yes, there she goes again. Today we're going to talk about somebody who took a weekend getaway. The prodigal son. The whole chapter on 15, it talks about something has been lost. You know, last week we talked about the lost coin. Of course, there is the lost sheep, and today we're going to talk about the lost son. Now, why do we go astray? Why do we go astray? This young man, of course, he had another brother, and according to Deuteronomy 21, it was in the Jewish law, was unusual for a man to divide his property between his sons prior to his death. It was also, if it was divided between two sons, the older son should receive 2/3, and the younger son would give 1/3. And yet, if you look at this specific text here, we see that the father just divided in half and just gave it to him. Do you want it? Take it. You know, sometimes we go through periods and cycles in life where we just want to go crazy. We just want to do something we've never done before. Well, this young man decided that it was time for him to implement what he was then thinking about and he wanted to do. He wanted to go for a weekend getaway. Now, why do we go astray? Why is it that we go astray? Well, first of all, we all go astray. We all go astray. Look what Isaiah 53:6 says. He says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to your own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of all. There's the tendency of us, as humans, we just want to rebel sometimes. You don't have to say amen this morning, please. Or maybe you want to do the Nehemiah way. You want to do 2 amens this morning. And sometimes we just want to rebel. We just have a tendency to rebel. Well, the scripture says in Isaiah 53 that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. So let's not put judgment on this young man and say, well, you know, he's just rebellious. He just wants, no, we all have a little tendency to go astray. So he did what he was prone to do. He was tempted to do. And he gave in and he took off. He was well. He was like Luna, I mean, living in luxury. Did you see that blanket she had? Come on, it's the most expensive from TJ Maxx. She had it. And yet, you know, she wanted to rebel. We all want to rebel. We all want to rebel. She wanted to rebel. This young man wanted to rebel. Everything was fine at home. And listen, sometimes we do that in the spiritual realm. Sometimes we say, I wonder how that would look. I wonder how that would feel. I wonder how that would go if I just leave, if I just leave my marriage, if I just leave my children, if I leave the comfort of what God has given me, if I just want to leave, I wonder what that would look like. But this young man was right there in the pivotal moment, but he did it. He did it. And he did it, and we must not put judgment on him because we may not be that far off ourselves. It's only a decision. And he made it. He decided to do it. He decided to do it. So we go astray because it's part of our DNA to be there. That temptation is always there to do it. It's always there to leave everything and just maybe go ahead and have a weekend getaway. Maybe it's there. But we also go astray because of influence. Because of influence. And then it says in verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. You know, it's interesting how sometimes when we keep insisting on something, God says, is that what you want? Go. I believe there's times in our lives when we keep rebelling and we bring in the same song time and after time that God says, you want to do it? Go ahead. The door is open. You see, Luna will scratch the door like crazy. And I said, Luna, I'm going to open the door. Let's see what you're going to do. And you saw what she did. She took off. She took off. Sometimes she does it when I'm coming to church. You know, and next thing you know, instead of driving on 96, I'm running on Wavertree Drive, trying to chase her down to come back. But this father didn't chase her. He just let her go. Sometimes God would just let you and I do what we want to do. Say, is that what you want? I got the best for you. You got a wonderful house. You got everything. You got the Lord with you. I'm with you. I'm blessing you. But there's this tendency that I want to rebel. And God says, you keep knocking on my door, I'm just going to open it and see what you could do. And sometimes we do it. So, we go astray because it's our tendency. It's part of our DNA to rebel against God. But there's also we are influenced. He was probably influenced by his friends. Probably influenced by his friends. You know, true friends will never tell you to walk away from God. Listen. A true friend will never tell you to walk away from God. If he says, look, you just need to quit going to church. You just need to quit reading the Bible. You need to just quit praying and seeking God. You just need to do that. Let's go do something else. True friends will never tell you to go astray from walking with the Lord. Never. A true friend will stay with you. You know, sometimes friendships are as big and as strong as our pockets. How much money you have? You have a lot of friends. But we don't have anything. Sometimes you don't have friends. And then in the midst of trials and tribulations is when we know who our true friends really are. Sometimes they're really not our friends. Maybe they befriend you because you have a position. Maybe they're friends because you have a lot of money. They're friends because you have a lot of likes in Facebook. Maybe you are a YouTuber and you're famous, and they said, I want to be his friend. But you know, sometimes those true friends in the midst of problems, they're not there. When everything and all the money was spent, there was nobody there. There was nobody there. You know, true friends will come when you have the least and when you don't have anything, when you have a lot, they'll be with you. Those are true friends. But a true friend will never, never move you away from walking with God. Never. But we also go astray because of family disputes. There was the other brother, of course. You know, the scripture doesn't tell us about the mother. There's no mention of the mother here. But obviously, there is a family here. You know, we all have family disputes. You know, we fight over all kinds of different things as families. You know, sometimes we'll fight the way that we roll our tissue paper. I like it this way. And they'll say, no, I like it the other way. Why did you do that? Hey, listen, we all have family disputes. You know, we don't look alike. You know, we got different opinions, different things that are happening, and that begins to move us astray. Perhaps there were issues, and next week we'll talk about the second son. There was probably issues with the second son. Yeah, he's the favorite. You know, I know I'm the baby, but hey, listen, you know, he's number one, you know, and I'm number two. I gotta go. And we got all family disputes. Maybe there's problems between the father and the son, and maybe there was problems between mom and him. You know, sometimes we want our kids, as parents, and of course we're going through this right now, our children never grow. Eat your vegetables. I'm 25, Mom. Make your bed. I'm in college already. Nobody makes their beds at the dorm. There's always disputes. There's always disputes. Now this young person is becoming an adult, and now you're talking to an adult. You're not talking to a child anymore. And so you have these family disputes, and so he says, I got to go. And it's interesting how the devil comes and visits us in those prime moments when we had conflict with family. The first thing we want to say, I'm moving. I'm just moving. I'm going to sleep in. Hey, you can come to one of my hotels. I'm a patel now. I'll give you a good discount. Sometimes we leave because we got family problems. And it's just better off. Keep the peace. I'm just moving on. So he left because probably family disputes. But we also go straight because of current financial stability. You see, he thought that he had enough money to live the rest of his life. Oh, he said, I got it made. I don't know how much he had. I don't know how much was given to him. But hey, listen, he was giving half of a state here. And he thought in his mind, oh, I got it made. Let me tell you something. Money comes and money goes. And it goes by quickly. Sometimes you have all the plans in the world. You said, I got $1 million. I got $500,000 here that I'm going to retire. And I got it made. Then Flint flips. Now you get a bill for $300. Now it's $600. There's $300 going away. Then food prices are going up. Everything is going up. Insurance won't cover your medical bill, and there goes another chunk. You know, things are so expensive. I remember when little Jacob was born, the insurance said, we're not going to pay for that bill, and it was $70,000. I didn't have Luna back then. I could have sold her. That wouldn't give me much. Maybe the tax. Listen, you can't put your trust in money. Money comes, money goes. You know, but the Lord always stays. He's faithful. You can put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in the Lord. He's the one who's going to make you through it. He was tired of hearing that. He wanted to do his own thing. And do you see where he ended up? Somebody say he ended up in Arkansas, Razorbacks, eating that meal from those. But he thought it was going to last forever. Don't put your trust in money. It can go away in 1 second. Comes and goes. So, He also thought, you know, perhaps there's greener grass on the other side. I just want to go try it out. Sometimes we think we got a bed at home. Well, he quickly learned. Sometimes we think the other side is much better. I mean, it just looks wonderful. You know, we've been traveling, and we've traveled through many, many cities in America, and it's amazing, some of those beautiful cities. There is so many poor people carrying and pushing carts in the middle of downtown cities. It's just amazing. Some of those folks grew up in small towns, and they moved to greener grass, and they said, I'm going to make it in the Big Apple. And things don't work out the way they did. They end up in the street. You remember Lot? Lot had an opportunity. And Lot said, There's greener grass on the other side. Abraham said, you choose, you choose, Lot, what do you want? And he looked, he said, wow, it looks beautiful on the other side. Well, look what he says. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan. There it is, the Jordan. Wow. He could have tours in the Jordan. That's probably what he saw. Vessels and ships. I could be a millionaire. I can start a port there. And then he set out towards the east, and the two men parted company. Instead of being the Trump Tower, it's the Lot's Tower. Think about it. I mean, he envisioned this whole thing, not knowing that somebody had to come and save him after that. It was greener grass. We only always think that the other side is better. Hey, listen, it is better to be eating spaghetti and meatballs and peanut butter and jelly sandwich at home than being in rebellious in the big city against God. Better to eat maruchan. Is that what you call those? Then they're five for a dollar. What is it? What is that I'm saying, right? It's this little spaghetti thing that you put your bowl of water in. Ramen noodles. Thank you very much. How many ramen noodles fans do we have here? Everybody. Hey, listen, I'd rather be eating that and being faithful and in God's will than anything else, that a filet mignon in God's rebellion. This man, oh Lot, he looked over there and he said, I can see it now. Driving a Lamborghini right on the coast of the Jordan. It was nothing but a mirage. It was nothing but a mirage. How does God see us when we go astray? How does he see us? Luke 15:20 says, so he got up and went to his father, but he was still a long way off. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. God is waiting for us from the moment that we rebel. There he is, watching. You know, the Lord has 24/7 cameras. He knows everything about us. He knows our thought process, the intention of the heart. He knows everything. That young man, he left and he thought, I'm done. But you know, the Father was waiting for him. And you know, God is waiting for us when we rebel against him. He's right there. He's waiting for us. The moment we left, the moment that we put it in our heart that we want to do this, that we want to rebel, that we want to be we want our independence, God is waiting for us to return. He's waiting for you to return. You know, we don't have to go to the big city and say, okay, now I'm rebelling against God. Or we could be rebelling against God and being in God's house. And yet God is waiting for you to walk back again, to engage again in the relationship with God again, to talk with him, to speak with him. To get in the Word of God, to pray again, to believe again, to trust again. He's waiting for us to do it, to get back. So God was looking at him even though he was far off. He kept waiting for him. He waits for us. You know, some of us had lost the excitement of believing in him. Sometimes God will bring situations like Brother Rick and what Miss Belinda are going through, just to awaken us. And God said, I'm here.
I'm at work. I still do miracles. It's a wake-up call. You need to smell the coffee. It's here. God says, I haven't left you. You remember my promise? I will never forsake you, never leave you. He never leaves us. He's right there. So he was watching that young man from far away. He was waiting for him to come back. To come back to the excitement again. But also God continues to provide for our basic needs. God's love is unconditional. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. God put that person there. And he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Even in our rebellious moment, God still takes care of us. Have you paid attention to that? Even when you say, I don't want to do it, I don't want to read the Bible, I don't want to go to church, I don't want nothing to do with spiritual things, with the church, nothing. God continues to give you a job. He continues to take care of you. 75, 85, 95, 96, Highway 41. He continues to give us the job, food on the table, even though we're in a rebellious state. In the worst moments, to him, when things when he said, "I'm done, all my money's gone," but God's wonderful grace was right there. That's what God does for us. Even when we rebel, when we don't want to go, God's wonderful grace is still there, is still present, is still alive. He's still loving us. He's still taking care of us, even though in our worst moment. That's God's unconditional love. But God patiently awaits for us to come to our senses. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" He finally came to his senses. He realized that the other side was much better. That what he always had was much better. That the people that loved him, that he had a roof now. He had food. He didn't have to worry about getting the food. The Father was providing it for him. He had a loving family. He had a brother to play with, to throw the football. Oh, wow, he had everything. And yet, finally realized, listen, we would not come back until we hit rock bottom. Are you there yet? Are you there to turn around? Get back with the emotion. Get back to praying. Get back to scripture reading. Get back to talking and fellowship. Have you hit rock bottom? You see, sometimes we have to reach. We have to get there. We have to come to a point where you say, you know, Lord, you know, even this morning I was telling my wife, I said, you know, honey, I almost died with COVID. I was this close. This close. Then you come to your senses and you say, you know, Lord, you have given me a new opportunity. I want to take it. He's giving you a new opportunity. I say, you know, if they would have taken me to the hospital that day, I don't think I would have come back. And the Lord just, all of a sudden, the Lord just speaks to us. You know, God does speak, you know. He speaks to us. Sometimes low, sometimes soft voice. You remember? You remember that time? Here we are. You're preaching, then it's today. You're going to First Baptist Fort Valley. Because I have given you another opportunity. You know, you and I are here today because we have received not one an opportunity. You know what God does? He gives multiple opportunities. is good. God is good. He is good. Can I get two amens, please? Hey, that's just one. Amen. Do I get a second? Praise the Lord. Sometimes we have to hit rock bottom so we can come back strong again and realize God's unconditional love. God patiently awaits for us to exhaust all of our options. The young man had exhausted all our options. No more money, no dad, no mom, no brother, no home, nothing. I'm done. Then he decides to come back home. God loves you. God loves us. Special love. Near the suburbs of Meigs, Georgia. How many of you were in Meigs, Georgia? Not a lot of people. You can Google it and you'll get there. It's between Moultrie and Cairo. Or is it Cairo? I've been corrected before. Thank you very much. I'm in the wrong country. I apologize. There in the suburb of Meigs, Georgia. I was invited to come and speak to in a church there during Missions Week. And I remember being there, and it wasn't a large congregation. I think they were homecoming, but not a lot of folks. And when I was preaching, all of a sudden, you know, I just sensed that the Lord was going to do something in that place. The time of invitation came, and I saw this young lady just come down the aisle. Come down the aisle. She had long hair up to here. And she just wanted to get right with God. She said, I want to get right with God. As I sat down there and looked, I said, not a girl, she's a boy. He was a young man. He had been away from church. He had gone astray. And that day, the Spirit of God began to stir the hearts and said, I need to get back. And that young man, I've never seen a young person broken in my life. He couldn't stop crying. He cried, he cried, he cried. And I said, why are you crying? God loves you. He has plans for you. He said, no, I just need to get back again. I just need to get back. I'm going to cut my hair. I'm going to get back to the things of God. I rebel against God. Today, I want to come back. And he came back. He turned around. He had hit rock bottom, and he realized that what he had before was even better, much better than where he had been. That day, the young man said, you know, I don't know if I'm saved, he said. I want to receive Christ. I want to be sure. So we led him to the Lord. For sure, he was born again. I was expecting the whole church just to huddle. I was expecting, you know, to rush the field like in football when the last second field goal was made. I mean, that's what I expected. Not a single person came to say anything. You know, I think we need to just get a little more excited about church, you know? I think Cuban coffee would help us. We got to get excited about God. I felt so bad. I drove home, and I was, my heart was so. You remember the lost coin? When the lost coin was found, you know what happened in heaven? There was a party in heaven. There's confetti going on over there. We got to get excited about the things of God again. When people repent, when people come back, we need to hug them. We say, thank you for coming back. We're going to walk together and help you grow and move forward. There's Luna. He made it back. Now she's at the door again. Maybe today, you want to come back. Walking with you. You know, that was Jesus' invitation to the disciples. He recruited them. You know what he said to them? Follow. The heart of Christianity is about following. Perhaps you're here today and you have gone astray. The Father's been taking care of you. The Lord has been good, made provision for you. Even though you're not in the spiritual, the Lord has been faithful, loving, providing. Perhaps looking for a home church you've been praying about. You want to be part of this local body. Perhaps you are here. Jesus, still business, saving soul.
If you'll stand and sing our hymn of invitation, Change My Heart, O God.
Comfort of your home. Tell the Lord, Lord, I want to come back. You're taking care of me. Love me. Lord is good. He's good. Father, we thank you so much for today. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Sorry that we rebelled so many times. Thank you for your grace, your love. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, be with us. Help us. Continue speaking. Father, that we be excited about you, the Word, the Church. Thank you.